They were close to doing it.
Today's payday?
Yeah.
No, we're...
We're still on paid dollar, actually. Which we gave out, I think, last week. So on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, we're up to Rav, and let's see where this Kihavi Nafik Lemeida. Okay, let's see. So we spoke about Rav. Just one second. Just want to get the exact place on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. So we're okay. Yeah, I think that we did already. Shomor ben Achichem, I think that's the last Gemara that we got to. So this will be approximately 10 lines up from the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis. Shomor ben Achichem Ushfatetem Omer Reb Chanina Azhar LeBezdin Shelo Yishma Divrei Baldin Kodem Sheyovo Baldin Chavero. Do you remember we touched on this, that the shofet should not hear the claims of one of the litigants when the other litigant is not present, in the absence of the other litigant? And not only that, Azhar LeBaldin, it's also a prohibition against the litigant who's there alone, that he shouldn't already start to present his arguments, LaDayan Kodem Sheyovo Baldin Chaver, before the other Baldin shows up. And how do you see this in the pasuk? Kari bei nami shama bein achechem. That's not shamoa in the sense of listening, but shama means to have your words being heard. So that's a double isur. Okay, what else? Now, the gemara that we did before this, a little bit earlier on the daf, which is approximately, let's say, 15 lines up from the bottom, was Darash Bar Kapar. This we did on Thursday. Minahani Milsa Ha Milsa Di Amri Rabbanon. What's the source in the Torah for that which the Rabbanon say, having Mesunin Badin, that a judge has to be very methodic, he has to think over and over again and slow down the process of judgment till he actually hands down his ruling. And then the pasuk says, Al Mizbechi, you don't rush up the steps to get to the Mizbeach. Okay, fine, because it would not show the respect for the Mizbeach if you rushed up. But right next door, the next pasuk is V'Ela Mishpatim, and that's addressing Mishpatim and Dinim. So just like when you go up to the Mizbeach, you have to go up slowly, so too, we have a principle called having Mesunim B'Din. When in judgment, you have to be very, very careful, very painstaking, take your time, and don't be in any rush. And we even spoke about, if you remember, Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that maybe he was taking on too many cases, and therefore he was in a pressure, and he wasn't able to give it his best, you know, to be very, very serious about it. Okay. Now, what I'm looking for, before we get to this, is, one second. Who can help me find this Gemara here on Daf Zayin on the Beis? Rav ki avi nafik lemeidan, ki avi chazi. Where is that? Oh, here it is. That's even a little bit earlier on the page. So let's go a little bit earlier. Okay, so this has to do with the Midah of Anova. Do you remember this? Rav was a great humble person. His humility was outstanding. And he used to say that that when people were gathering around him, ki avichazi ambuha, ambuha means a gathering of people, abasrei behind him, so they were escorting him from behind him, which meant that they were giving him tremendous honor, and he was afraid that that might go to his head. Omar, so he quoted a pasuk in Iyov. This pasuk in Iyov would sort of train him so that in this challenging situation where he was given all this glory, he would not let it get to his head. And the pasuk says, "In Yalla Lashamayim Co." Co means to be uplifted, right? Lehit Nasei means when people, you know, put you on a pedestal. So in Yalla Lashamayim Co, if they put him all the way up on top, is nevertheless at the end of the pasuk it says, "Ki Gelalo LaNetzach Yoved." Now the word Gelalo, which is from the Hebrew Shorash Galal, that's a reference to the lowest thing on earth, which is feces. LaNetzach Yoved, he'll be lost. He'll be lost forever, so to speak, like Galal. In other words, he started with the highest level of kavod, and if he enjoys that kavod too much, that glory and that honor, he's going to end up in a state of shiftless. And that's what the pasuk says in Iyov. And that's what Rav would rehearse in his mind as a refrain when they gave him all this great honor. Now, in the Gvuras Yitzchak, which is on page Pei Dalid, and you're looking on the right column, you'll see Rav. He quotes a Yalkut. A Yalkut is a Medrash that says that this pasuk in Iyov is a reference to Adam HaRishon. And the first part of the pasuk describes Adam HaRishon in his glory, in his greatness, which is called Besio. Sio means when he reaches the pinnacle, and that's before he sins. And then the second part of the pasuk describes the Adam HaRishon when he after his sin, when he goes down, you know, he zooms down to the lowest level. So Ze Adam HaRishon Shenivra Mole Kol Olam Kulo. The Yalkut has a very dramatic description of Adam HaRishon before the Chet. He fills the entire universe. His head is up in the clouds, in the higher realms. And if you take a look in the Rashbates, who writes a Pirish on Pirkei Avos, in his Dhamma, which is called Magen Avos, he writes that Adam HaRishon was able to comprehend all of the principles of the universe, from the ground all the way up to the highest realm in Shamayim. He understood nature, he understood inanimate nature, he understood vegetation, he understood the animal world. And not only that, he even added with his wisdom new insights into the universe. So if they ever ask you who is the greatest scientist that ever lived, you'll tell them that according to the Rashbates, it was Adam HaRishon before the Chet. He really comprehended all the secrets of nature, which reminds us of the Chazal that say that God brought the animals past Adam HaRishon. He gave names to each one of them, right? And each name indicated the essence of the animal. So that's what the pasuk says when it says in Yalal Hashamayim Co. If he's uplifted to the highest level of Shamayim, that's Adam HaRishon before the Chet. Then the pasuk ends with Kiglolo Yoved LaNetzach. And at this point, we're talking about his reaching the lowest level, and that's after the Chet. And the Gemara in Sota says the following, that when a person sins, it's because of a ruach shtus, some sort of wind that pushes him over the ledge, so to speak. On a rishon, despite all his greatness and all the comprehensions and his wisdom, nevertheless, a ruach shtus entered into him, and he sins, and therefore he's exiled from Gan Eden, and God decrees that he'll be mortal, he'll die. So then we could say the following, that if that's the pshat in the pasuk, then let's take a look at Rav. What did Rav see in this pasuk? Haseo shaholach achrov. Why was it that this massive entourage would follow behind Rav? Machmas chachmaso agdola, because of Rav's great wisdom, like Adam Arishon before the Chet. And therefore Rav declared to himself that afilu yeh chachmaso kol kach gedola, even if his chachma would reach that great level that he could understand all the secrets and the foundations of the created universe, nevertheless, if he's going to allow that to get to his head, and he's going to, you know, give himself a pat on the back, look how great I am, at that point he's going to be hit with a ruach shtus, right? Because that the power of the Yetzara, once he puts you on this high level, you think you're so great, is to bring you down. And as a result of that ruach shtus, if I don't protect myself, Rav says, it's going to be kiglolo lenetzach yovei, just like Adam Arishon went all the way down, so too that's going to happen to me. Having misunim bedin, we should be very careful and slow in judgment. Now, the word din has a technical meaning in Shas, and it usually means dine nefashos, mean capital cases. Sometimes the word din means monetary cases. He says that if we assume the broader definition of din, and it encompasses both capital cases and monetary cases, that they're all considered din, and they all require a bezdin, right? In the case of din nefashos, we need a bezdin of 23 judges, in the case of din imamim, it's 3 judges. But then there's something called horas isa v'heta. I take a chicken to a rabbi, and I ask him if it's a treif or is it kosher. And there we don't need the makeup of a bezdin with 3 judges, etc., but all we need is a chacham, who's capable of understanding the law, and he knows whether it's kosher or treif. So it's not Petaris based, and he's not functioning as a court. That's not called din. So the word din technically can refer to either dine mominos or dine nefashos, but it doesn't refer to hora. Hora means to give a psak, an isa v'heta. That doesn't require a bezdin. Now, here it says, hevi mesunim bedin. So the Baal Gvuris Yitzchak wants to be medayik that only in the case of din, where you need a bezdin and a ruling of a court in 2 litigants, or in the case of a capital accusation, that's when the halacha requires that you be masunim. That's an extra care of thinking it over, you know, mulling it in your mind, turning it over and upside down, looking at it from every perspective. All that painstaking work is requirement with regard to din, but not with regard to orah. Because Isa Veheta is not called din. And he wants to support this based on Rashi in the first parak of Avos, where it says, Havi Mesunim Vadin. And Rashi says there, Lefisha Hadin, we're on the top left column here, Yoshev Berumo Shel Olam. How do we know that din is something that is uplifted to the highest level? Because what happens in Parshas Yisro, which is followed by Parshas Mishpatim, the Parshas of Din, in Parshas Yisro we're given the Aseres HaDibros, which are given from the highest level of Merumo Shalolam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself comes down to bring, to give us, to transmit the Aseres HaDibros. And the very next Pasuk, after we start Parshas Mishpatim, is Ela Mishpatim. So Rashi says that Din, which means judgment, is considered Berumo Shalolam. It's like the Aseres HaDibros. And the smichus, the contiguity between these two parashiyos, the Aseres HaDibros, Berumo Shalolam, and the Mishpatim and the Dinim, which comes immediately afterwards, tells us that judgment is also Berumo Shalolam. However, clearly, Rashi is not extending this to horas isa veheter. So therefore, if you ask us the question, well, why does Rashi on the mission of Hevu Mesunim B'din, why does Rashi speak about the greatness of Din, that it's Elam Mishpatim following the Aseres Hadidus Beruma Shalolam, Rashi wants to tell you that Hevu Mesunim B'din is exclusive to Din, you know, we single out Din, and it doesn't apply to Horas Isavet. We're going to see the same idea in the Maral Miprag, who writes that the word Chachma and the greatest achievement in wisdom is din, is judgment. And he quotes a Mishnah in Baba Basra in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Harotza Sheyachkim, if a person wants to achieve Chachma, he wants to sharpen his mind. So maybe you and I would say study physics or math, I don't know. But Rabbi Shmuel came up with a different answer to the question, how do you sharpen your mind? Yasot bedine mamonos. He should learn the bavas, you know. He should learn the laws of mamonos. She'ein lecha miktzah b'chachma. That's Rabbi Shmuel. There's no discipline in human wisdom, yoseh mehem, from the study of dini mamonos. And we have to be very careful, therefore, that we should not make any mistakes in din. And sometimes yavol litos b'svaras halev, you know, come up with a svara, some sort of logic from his heart, but he's not getting it from the halach itself. And therefore, if he misunav din, make sure that you leave out your own, you know, emotional, intuitive tendencies for the sake of din, for the sake of the mishpat of the Torah. And once again, it's clear from the Maral that he understood that when it says have misunav din, and that's what the Maral quotes, L'fichach omar avi misunav b'din, that when you're involved in judgment, you have to be very careful and painstaking. That's dinei mishpat, meaning the dinim of perhaps all of monetary law, because that's... So again, the Maral is connecting Rabbi Yishmael, who says that if you want to achieve chachma, then you should be osek b'dini modis. He's connecting that with the mission of having mesunah b'din. And the Maral says, in the light of Rabbi Shmuel, we can understand having mesunah b'din. We can appreciate why you have to be masun b'din, to be mavatal, so to speak, and leave out all your svaras and all your intuitions for the sake of understanding the chachma of dini mamonos. So the Gevurah Yitzchak wants to derive from this Maral that the way he understood having Mesunah B'din was that it's not referring to Horas Isa V'Heter, because we don't find that Horas Isa V'Heter is called a Chachma, like Dini Mamonos. The only problem he has here is that it would seem from the Maral Miprag that having Mesunah B'din only applies to monetary law and not to a case of a cardinal, of an accusation of a criminal, a cardinal sin. But that's a little bit odd, but maybe that has to be understood in a different light, as we'll soon see. But as far as having Mesunah B'din is concerned, because of the immense depth and complexity of monetary law, a judge has to be Masun B'din. But again, we're not talking about Horas Isa V'Heter here, because again, the Maral makes that connection between the Chachma of Dinei Mamonos, which is Rabbi Shmuel's dictum, and the mission of having Mesunah B'din. All of this is to the exclusion of Horas Isa V'Heter. We don't find that if you want to achieve Chachma and wisdom, you should study Horas Isa V'Heter and figure out whether a chicken is treif or not treif. Then he quotes the Smag, and the Smag says that Kol Dayan Shenotel Momen Mizev Noten Lazeh Shelo Kedin Hakadosh Baruch Hu Govev Mimenu Nafsho Shemer V'Kavas Koveim Nefesh L'Fichach Tzivu Chachomem Mesunah B'Din. And once again, it seems clear from the Smag that every Mesunah B'Din is a reference to Dinei Mamonos. Why? Because he quotes the halacha that if a Dayan is guilty of taking money illegally from this one and giving it to that one, he will have to forfeit his life. His life will be taken away, and therefore, in the light of the severity and the serious nature of din, is tzivu chachomev mesunah b'din. Again, no reference here whatsoever to isa v'heter. So, just to summarize everything that we have here before Rabbeinu Yonah, which we're about to embark upon, whether it's Rashi and Masechta Avos, whether it's the Maral, whether it's the Smag, I mean, they all seem to understand unanimously that the principle, the dictum of having Mesunim to be very careful and painstaking is referring to Din, meaning Mishpat, but not to Horas Isa Vehet. And here I press the return button. Achein, however, Rabbi Yon of Avos, that's the super commentary on Avos, Kosav, he writes, Avi Mesunim Bedin, listen carefully, Lemorim Horos Uleposkim Esadin. It's interesting that he has two categories here of Yonah. One is Morim Horos, and the other is Poskim Esadin. Well, Poskim Esadin, we know, is a decision that's handed down, a ruling in a court for Dini Mominos. But what's Morim Horos? The simple interpretation, the translation of the words Morim Horos, is Horos Isuvehete. And this is Rabbi Yonah's comment on the Mishnah and Avos of having Mesunim Bedin. Vatan, says Rabbi Yonah, Shalom Rabbi Mesunim Bedin. When the Mishnah emphasizes the word din, Rabbi Yonah is aware of the sense of the, you know, the linguistic diuk here that din refers to a mishpat of a bezdin, excluding horos. He says no. He says that there's a special emphasis of Mesunim Bedin addressed to the dayanim, kidei lahazir al dayanim yoser mishar horos. So that if you're coming to a rabbi to have a psak on a chicken, or you want to know whether or not you're allowed to mash a banana on Shabbos or something like that, so that doesn't require a special zahirus. It does require having Mesunim Bedin, but what's more significant and what requires a more careful warning, so to speak, is the case of Dine Mominos of a Mishpat. Because there, you know, so much is at stake if the dayan takes money from the person who's not liable and gives it to the other person, that's going to be something that's almost a capital crime. He has to forfeit his nefesh. So there's so much on the line here from a hashkafic perspective in terms of the Torah law of mishpat that the Mishnah mentions heavy Mesunim Bedin. But in truth, this Mishnah addresses itself, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, even to a mora hora visa vehete, he too has to be careful about it. When we dvar of nira to bemes gam le mora hora isa vehete tzarech lios masan bel ro asan achatan enok adin kidei lahazral adin yosem mishar horos. So this mandate is especially heavily addressed in a very heavy way to the dayanim, but it really includes all mora hora. Now the Rambam in Hilchas Melachim at the end of Perek Dalid says about the Melech. Now what we're about to embark upon is another analysis, a further analysis of Hevi Mesunim Bedin, and we're going to ask the following question: is this Hevi Mesunim Bedin a dictum that's addressed to the judges and only to the judges, or is it addressed to the king as well, the Melech as well, since the Melech has authority to legislate, to enact all sorts of laws, far-reaching laws? The Rambam says, "Ein mamlichim melech betchila lasos mishpatim u'milchamos." So it's interesting when the Rambam defines the parameters and the responsibilities of the king, he doesn't limit it to going out to battle and conscripting the soldiers, but he also includes in it lasos mishpatim, that there are certain decisions that are going to be made in law in mishpat that are in the hands of the Melech. And we'll see that Shlomo Melech, for example, when he was appointed as the king, he immediately turns to Hashem and he recites the following supplication: V'nasata l'avdecha, please bestow upon your servant, he's talking about himself, lev shomea, a heart that hears, meaning a very deep and sensitive sense of, a keen sense of hearing, lishpot es amcha, to judge your people. And then he says, ki mi yuchal lishpot es amcha hakoved azeh, takes a tremendous amount of help, what we call siyata dishmai, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to be able to successfully be shofet the people of Israel. It's such a heavy undertaking for the Melech to take up upon himself. And Shlomo Melech again reiterates this idea in Mishlei, Lev Melachim Ein Cheker. And he decries the situation where if the Melachim don't have the Cheker, they don't have the ability to delve into the deeper meanings of the Mishpat. Now Rashi says, Kama Dinim Boim Lifneim, that very often Dinim come in front of the Melech. Again, we're not sure which Dinim are going to be sent to the king, but Srichim, the kings, have to have Lev Lekulam. Lasei Slev Lekulam, they have to pay very careful attention in order to give and hand down the proper decision. But what we see from both the Rambam and Rashi, the bottom line is that Nismana, the king, is appointed Lishpot Esav, that the concept of Mishpat belongs to Malchus. Now, once you've gone that far, you can go one step further. And then when the Mishnah says, and our Gemara here in Sanhedrin, Evi Mesuna B'din, it might be addressing not just the Dayanim, but also the Melech, because he's now in charge of Mishpat, as we saw before. Mishpat also comes under his reign, under his realm of jurisdiction. Now, if that be the case, perhaps we can understand something about the Rambam. Now, just by way of introduction, we're about to turn to Pehei. There are two Rambams, and the Rambam in two different places is going to talk about the concept of Mesinus, of being very careful. Now, you and I know that when the Rambam codifies halacha, he's very careful, and we always have to pay attention as to where that halacha appears. For example, if the Rambam wants to tell us a halacha about Shoftim, about Dayanim, then sure enough, that's going to be codified in Hilchas Sanhedrin. If, on the other hand, he wants to talk about other people, Lav Dafka Dayanim, then he might have it in different places in the Rambam, not necessarily in Hilchas Sanhedrin, which is exclusively dedicated to the laws of the Shoftim or the Dayanim. So let's begin with the Rambam, who says that Eimam Licha Melch Betchila Lasos Mishpat Umilchama, and then the Rambam writes, Tzivu Chachomim Hevi Mesunim B'din. Now, where does the Rambam incorporate this halach of Hevi Mesunim B'din? Not in Hilchas Melachim, but rather in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perikov Milchas Sanhedrin. Now, if the Rambam quotes the halach of Hevi Mesunim B'din in Hilchas Sanhedrin and he omits it in Hilchas Melachim, what conclusion would you come to? That's only for Dayanim. Hence, he brings it in Hilchas Sanhedrin. And yet, the Rambam tells us about a Melech that he's also in charge of Asiyas Mishpat. So there's a very paradoxical situation here, where on the one hand, the Rambam seems to limit the principle, the requirement of Hevi Mesunim B'din to the Chachamim who are Oseik B'din, the members of the Sanhedrin and the Dayanim. But on the other hand, the Rambam says that it's not the exclusive area of authority of the Dayanim, meaning Mishpat is not given in a singular way exclusively to the Dayanim, but Mishpat is also given to the Melech. And in fact, he says, the Bir Agra, the Gra is a pirush on Avos, and when he interprets the Mishnah of Hevi Mesunim B'din in the first parak of Avos, so he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Darash Bar Kapara, Minani Milsa, Ha Milsa Da Amar Rabbanan Hevi Mesunim B'din, and we derive it from Lo Sala V'malos V'Somach Le Eila Mishpatim, meaning that just like you're not allowed to rush up the steps to the Mizbeach, so too a Shofet should not be rushing in his judgment. U'pirish Rashi Klomar Aflis Shoftim Animazir. Okay, fine. So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is warning this Shoftim, not just the Kohanim who are rushing up to the Mizbeach, that's not allowed, but also the Shoftim who are rushing through Mishpat. That's the way Rashi understands it. But it seems clear that Melech is not mentioned here in any way. Right? The Gaon is learning that Avi Mesunim B'din is our sugya in which Rashi says we're deriving from the mitzvah to the Kohanim, or the Losa said to the Kohanim, a prohibition to the Shoftim, that's what Rashi says, that they shouldn't be rushing in judgment. There's no mention here of Melech. So in effect, what we saw in the Rambam, that Tzivu Chachomim Avi Mesuna Bedin, and the Rambam codifies that in Hilchas Sanhedrin, when he talks about the Dayanim, which indicates that there's no Avi Mesuna Bedin other than to Dayanim, and not to a Melech. We see this reflected in Rashi as well, and that's what the Gaon points out in his Perush on the Mishnah of Avi Mesuna Bedin. Ubisifri beparshas dvar matzaveh shofteichem sheyu mesuna bedin. Again, when it says atzaveh shofteichem, it's addressing to the Torah, is addressing itself to the shoftim, not to the malachim. So again, it would seem over and over again from all these various proofs that only shoftim are included under avu mesuna bedin and not malachim. But the Pella is that the Rambam himself seems to be committed to the position that the area of jurisdiction of the Melech includes even Mishpatim. So why shouldn't there be Avi Mesuna Bedin for the Melech? Now at this point we want to reiterate an old story that we had about a machlokas between the Ran and the Avnei Nezer. And I'm hoping you remember this machlokas. The Ran in his drashos assumes that there's a fundamental difference between the Shoftim and the Melech, whereas the Shoftim are absolutely committed to the rules of Mishpat. They don't have any room for creativity, you know, that goes beyond the circumscribed area of Mishpatei HaTorah. In contrast, the Melech, he can institute takanos, and he's not bound by the Mishpatei HaTorah. In other words, there's Mishpatei HaTorah that covers all the cases that are covered, but then there are other cases and other situations in Torah HaShoah, and that's where we need the Melech to institute new enactments for the sake of the people. Ulefi zed nira, the dafka shofet shetzach lishpot mishpat tzedek, Kefi Mishpatei HaTorah, who's our Leos Masim Bedin? According to the Ran, we can, at least according to the Ran, again in the Rambam's favorite reference, we're going to have a problem, but at least in the favorite reference of the Ran, defining the parameters of the Melech as going beyond the Halacha, it's meta halachic because there's so many issues that come up in society and needs for enactments and laws that are not addressed by the Torah, the Mishpatei HaTorah. So therefore the principle of having Mesuna Bedin doesn't apply to the Melech. Why? Because having Mesuna Bedin is always connected to Mishpat. Like we saw in our Gemara, the Smichas HaParshios between what? Between Lo Salah B'Malo Sal Mizbechi and Eilam Mishpatim HaShat Tosim Lifneim, and that according to the Rad is certainly addressing itself to the Shoftim, and from Lo Salah B'Malo Sal Mizbechi we derive the principle of having Mesuna Bedin. And that makes a lot of sense according to the Ran, because the Melech is not required to issue his decisions and legislate his enactments based on the Mishpatei HaTorah. So Eila Mishpatim Shatasim Lifneim, which is Parshas Mishpatim, is not addressing the Melech. It's therefore the having Mesuna Bedin, which again is derived from the last Pasuk in Parshas Yisro and the first Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, is not addressed to the Melech. But then we had the Avnei Nezer. Do you remember, Abosai, that the Sokhet Shavu Rebbe disagrees with the Ran, and he holds that even the Melech, in all his judgments and all his enactments, he is bound by Mishpatei HaTorah. And the Avnei Nezer says, V'huzar shelo yate mishpat. And the Torah goes out of its way to command the Melech that he shouldn't deviate from the Mishpatei HaTorah. And all the asharis that the Torah imposes upon the Melech, it's all because it wants to guarantee that the Melech should remain within the bounds, so to speak, of Mishpatei HaTorah. Imkein l'dvarav, if we go like the Avnei Nezer, nira, it would seem that the conclusion is that gam ha-melech tzarech lios masun bedin, that the king himself should also be masun bedin. So let's just review what we have. We have many, many sources, including the Rambam, including Rashi, a Sifri and Dvarim, all seem to indicate that the Mesunah B'Din addressed itself to the Shoftim, and exclusively to the Shoftim, and not to the Melech. On the other hand, we saw that the implication of the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim is that maybe the Melachim are likewise in charge of Mishpat. And therefore the mission of having Mesunah B'Din, which is derived from the Pasuk of Mishpat, should address itself even to the Melech. And according to the Gevurah Yitzchak, this whole issue really hinges on the Machlokas between the Ran and the Avnei Nezer, whereas the Ran understood that the Melech is outside the pale of Mishpat, and he's not bound by Mishpatei Torah. The Avnei Nezer understood, on the contrary, that the Torah goes out of its way over and over again to warn the Melech that he should not overstep his bounds, and he should be limited by Mishpatei Torah, and that's what should guide him. And it makes sense, therefore, according to the Avnei Nezer, that the idea of having Mesunah B'Din address itself not just to the Shoftim, but also to the Melech as well. Okay, now we take a look at the next Gemara here at the bottom of Daf Zayin Amud Beis, right past Darash Bar Kapara. So we're up to Omar Rabbi Eliezer, and if you have the Gemara in front of you, that would be how many lines before the end of the Amud? Just 1 second. 15 lines. Okay. Minayin l'dayin shelo yifsal roshei am kodesh. You remember this? When a dayan comes into the courtroom, if he comes last, which I think in many Western countries is the protocol, then it looks to the spectator as if he's stepping on the heads of the people who are there. Now, imagine a very crowded courtroom. Maybe the people were sitting on low benches, and if you look at the dayan, you know, he's trying to weave his way through the crowd in order to get to the podium. Then it looks as if he has no respect or esteem for the population, for the people, and it looks like he's stepping over their heads. Obviously, each one is going to duck, you know, and so forth and so on. Maybe they'll move out of the way, but it's disrespectful, and therefore we would like the dayan to be there first, take his place, his seat up front, and then the people come in. And how do we derive this? Shenemar, again, this is similar to Bar Kapara in terms of the derivation, that the Torah says, Losala b'malos, which means you're going up, and it looks like you're going over the steps. Here too, some of Le'ele Mishpat B'Sher Tosim Lufneim, that the Shoftim, if they come in late, meaning after the people have already seated, then it looks like they're stepping on the heads of the Shoftim. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi adds one word here, which is very important. Rashi says, af. Af l'shoftim. Let's try to understand the significance of Rashi's addition of the word af l'shoftim. Here's the question. I'm not a shofet, do I also have to be very careful in terms of my respect of the audience? And by the way, if you want to underline the word af in Rashi, I'm just going to try to help you find that. If you're counting up from the bottom of the page, it's about 15 lines, maybe a little bit more. And you'll see in bold print, V'samach levi'elah mishpatim, Klomar Rashi says, Af l'shoftim animasir. It seemed for Rashi that this isur of Lo yifsal roshei am kodesh addresses not just the shoftim, but even the shoftim. And you would think that in the case of the shoftim, who has to give respect to whom?
Yeah.
Right, the people, the am, they have to give respect to the dayan. No, the Torah wants to say it goes in both ways. They have to give respect to the dayan, but the dayan has to respect them. So Rashi says that this is introducing a special chidush, a new idea that the Shoftim, despite their very high, great esteem, they have to give esteem and recognition and respect to the Am, to the people. That's called Am Kodesh. But would this Easter apply to someone who's not a Shofet? Yes. Right? Because Rashi's telling you that the Chiddush is Af Shoftim. That, right, even the Shoftim have to give this respect to the people. Now the Rambam, again, we're always sensitive to where the Rambam brings down Halacha. And in the 25th parak of Hilchas Sanhedrin, he says, Asur L'dayon, this is on the top left of page Pehei, Asur L'dayon Linog Bisagara. Svara means to lord it over someone, Al Atzibur, Vagasis Ruach, as if he's God's gift to the world. And you're just the plebs, right? Elabad Nova Viyura. So all the behavior pattern of the Dayan vis-a-vis the Tzibur has to be with modesty. Then he writes in the next halacha, V'chein Asulo Linog Bem Kalus Rosh, V'lo Yifsal Rosh Yam Kodesh. Again, the Rambam codifies this halacha of Lo Yifsal Al Rosh Yam Kodesh in Hilchas Sanhedrin, apparently addressing it to whom? To the Dayanim, to the Shoftim. It doesn't seem like the Rambam would go as far as Rashi is concerned and expand this Lo Yifsal Rosh Yam Kodesh as an Isur that addresses all people in all situations. For example, the Shulchan Aruch, when he quotes this halacha val yifsal roshei am kodesh, he quotes it in Hilchas Dayanim. The Levush, who is a contemporary of the Shulchan Aruch, he writes the asul dayon lisnai b'sror v'gas tzruch al atzibur el banovir v'lo yifsal roshei am kodesh. Shenire kimafsia al roshon derech gaiva. Once again, the Levush, like all the sources that we saw, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, addresses the Dayan, and not like Rashi. So Rashi says that even the Dayan is included in this Isur of Lo Yifsa al Roshei Am Kodesh. But according to the Rambam and according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Levush, this Lo Yifsa al Kodesh is not even the Shoftim, but only the Shoftim. Now again, I just want to make an obvious point. It doesn't mean that we regular, you know, rank and file citizens don't have to respect people. Obviously, we want to show respect to the people. But this special prohibition, which is formulated as a lav, maybe it's only a lav midivreyim because it's based on a pasuk in Tanakh, but it's based on an asmachta. But nevertheless, we have to give respect, but it's not a lav. It's not a separate isur because we're not worried about gaiva, you know, in the case of, you know, the person is gonna disrespect others. So the Torah gave a special isur. We see over and over again how the Torah is being very, very harsh and demanding on the Dayanim with high levels and special requirements. Okay. Now let's take a look at the Gemara in Yevamos. And Tosis in Yevamos. That's the most important thing. Tosis in Yevamos. So the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, Misha tzarech lo am kodesh yifsal roshei am kodesh, and Misha ain tzarech lo am kodesh heich yifsal am kodesh. It sounds like what Rabbi Shmuel is saying is those who need this leader, okay, we'll just use a kind of ambiguous word, then they have to be very careful about his kavod. Let's see Tosis. Tosis says the following: the Hadi of the Parakam in the Sanhedrin Asar L'Dayin Shelo Yifsal Roshei Am Kodesh Hainu Hecha Shelo Yotzal L'Tzarech Am Kodesh Avol Hecha Sheyotzal L'Tzarech Am Kodesh Mutal L'Dayin Lifso Aleinu. So there's an unbelievable chiddush here in Tosis. Based on the statement of Rabbi Shmuel, he whittles down this isur of also lifsoa al roshei am kodesh. It doesn't always apply, but it only applies in a situation where he is not coming to judge in that, you know, position of in the courtroom where he, you know, where he normally judges. like let's say for example there's an assembly of people, right? Like in kibbutz, you know, they have they make assemblies, the chavrei kibbutz, right? They get together. So if a person is a dayan in that context, he should not look like he's stepping over people. He should not disrespect the dignity of the people. But says Tosfos, in a case where the dayan has to get through the crowd in order to sit in judgment, which he says is yatzal letzorech, in other words, he's functioning now on behalf of the people as a unique functionary, you know, called the dayan, then mutar lifsa alehem. There's no iser. In other words, this prohibition addresses the dayan when he's outside of the context of a courtroom. And he's not serving the people at this point. He shows up wherever he shows up. So, you know, I was always wondering, this happens to me often, that, you know, I'm in a store or I'm in a supermarket and I'm waiting online and somebody with a long rekel comes in. You know, somebody like a dayan comes in. We have in Har Nofer, I live, a number of dayanim who live in the neighborhood. In fact, one of them lives two flights on top of me in my building, but another one lives in my Mechutenis building down up the road, and a third one lives on another street. I can count already three dayanim in Har Nofer, but I'm sure there are many more that I don't know about. So let's say a dayan comes in, you know, his wife sent him to shop in a supermarket. Should we have responsibility to move away and let him go to the front of the line? And it could be possible, I'm not here to paskin, that maybe in such a case the dayan should not take advantage of the special collar that he wears, you know, his special appointment as a dayan. Again, he can have a different kind of relationship to the people when he's functioning as a dayan in the courtroom. But outside the courtroom, then it's ein, well, what's the language of Tosfos? It's ein ham kodesh tzarech lo. Right now they don't need him. So maybe he shouldn't be taking advantage of this. You know, he should say thank you, but no thank you. Okay, now let's ask the following question. The Rambam that we started with on the top of this column says, Osel adayin linog tzor la tzibur, v'chein osel linog ben kal tzor shlo yifsal roshei am kodesh. Does the Rambam indicate that we're talking about a dayan who's tzarechlo, meaning he's functioning as a dayan? We have a rule in the Rambam that whenever we read the Rambam, there's something called stimas loshan Rambam, which means that the Rambam doesn't qualify. That's exactly what he meant to tell you, that it's not qualified. So whereas Tosfos in Masechet Yevamos qualifies, and he limits this iser of osel dayan lifsal am kodesh, al roshi am kodesh, it only applies when he's outside of the courtroom, but not in the courtroom. The Rambam seems to give you a blanket, all-inclusive, unqualified iser applying to the dayan, that even if he's outside the courtroom, I'm sorry, even if he's inside the courtroom, he should not come in last. He should not look like he's pushing away the people. And that's what he points out in the next paragraph, Ulam, Harama Milcha Sanhedrin, which we quote on the top of the page. Lo hiskir l'daya shadayim mutar l'fsar lev shiyotz l'tzor ham kodesh, that if he's functioning in his capacity as a dayan, then he's allowed to be posel lehem. And therefore you would come to the conclusion based on the Rambam in Sanhedrin that the Rambam disagrees with Tosfos in Yevamos, whereas Tosfos in Yevamos is of the opinion that the Iser only applies outside of the courtroom, but not inside the courtroom. The Rambam seems to apply it umetum, wherever you are. But yet, there's another Rambam. This Rambam is in Hilchas Talmud Torah. And in the sixth perek, he dedicates the perek to the laws of Kvod Talmidei Chachamim. And the Rambam goes a step further and he says, not only do we have to respect the Talmud Chacham, but the Talmud Chacham should not lord it over the people. And he writes, B'nei Chachamim, V'talmidei chachamim, bizman sharabim tzrichim lehem. If the Talmud Chacham is functioning on behalf of the tzibur, let's say he's paskening shilas or he's giving a shir, you know, he's giving his drasha once a month, you know, he gives a big public drasha or perhaps before the regalim. So that's called Bisman Sharabim Tzrichim Lahem. And there he says, Makabtzim al Roshay Am v'nichnasim umkoma. Since he's functioning in a capacity as a Talmud Chacham to teach the people, he's allowed to come in last, and he's allowed to look like he's stepping on their heads. Which sounds exactly like whom? Like Tosus. Remember, we just saw Tosus says that when the Dayan is functioning in the courtroom in his official capacity on behalf of the nation, then he doesn't have to worry about coming in late and looking like he's stepping on people's house. And here the Chachamim, according to the Rambam, so it seems like the Rambam is extending the Lo Yafsi Al Roshei to apply even to other people who are not Dayanim. But if it's someone who's not a Dayan, the Rambam tells you that he's allowed to be posea al Roshei Am if he's doing so in an official capacity, like a Chacham who's giving a drasha. Oh. Now let's go back to the Rashi that we started with. Rashi says, Somach le'ela mishpatu klomer af l'shoftim ani ma'asir. So we derive from Rashi that this Isur of lo yifsa Roshei Am Kodesh applies universally to everyone. It's not limited to the Dayan. And Tosis and Yevamis also seems to assume that it would apply outside of a Dayan. There are the Tosis Pirshut Kirashi, the Isur yifsa shayach af b'misha eno shofet. And the Chiddush here is that even a shofet is included in this Isur. And Tosfos says that shofet is included in this Isur as long as he is outside the context of the courtroom. Ulam bidas haramam nira, the sphere of the eshnei Isurim nifradim. Let's be again sensitive to the fact that the Rambam speaks about lo yifsal Roshei Am in two different places. One in Hilchas Sanhedrin, when he's addressing the Dayanim, and the other is in Hilchas Talmud Torah, he's addressing Chachamim. There are two separate Isurim. With regard to the Hilchas Talmud Torah, the Rambam says that a Chacham should be careful about the esteem and the respect he gives to the people, but only if he's not in a function context. If he's functioning in order to teach the people and transmit the Torah to people, then he's allowed to come in last and impose himself on the people. But the Rambam clearly would hold that even if someone is not a Dayan, he still has this Isur of Lifsar Roshei Am, which means Kavod HaTzibur. Every person is enjoined to respect and give esteem to the Tzibur, to the population, to the people at large. Ubahach Isur, but with regard to this Kavod HaTzibur Isur, the Rambam makes a qualification. And he says that if it's a case of Rabim Tzrichim Lo, where he's functioning on behalf of the Tzibur, then he's exempt from Kavod HaTzibur. Why? Because in that context, everything that he's doing is for the benefit of the Tzibur. He's not in any way undermining their Kavod, their dignity. But now we have the Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin. Remember our point in the Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin. He disagreed with Tosfos and Yevamos. He didn't qualify the Isur of Asur Lifsal Roshei Am. Amo Bahach Isur Nemar L'Dayin Mishum Shlo Yinag Srora V'Gaiva L'Tzibur. Here the Rambam disagrees with Tosfos. And here the Rambam extends and extends the application of the Isur of Shlo Yifsa to include even the Dayin outside of the courtroom, because the Rambam doesn't qualify. I'm sorry. What I meant to say was that the Rambam would extend this Isur even to the courtroom. That's what I meant to say. Sorry. Right? Even to the courtroom. So as far as people who aren't in the classification of Dayanim, the Isur is a result of Kavod HaTzibur. If they're serving the Tzibur at that moment, then they don't have to worry about coming in late and looking like they're stepping on people's heads. Well, what about a Dayan? So the Tosfos says that a Dayan, if he's serving as a judge, then he doesn't have to worry about coming late. Then it looks like he's stepping on. But the Rambam, when he codifies the halacha of the Dayan, he doesn't qualify. He doesn't say, well, lo yifsal roshei am kodesh when he's outside the court, but if he's in the court, he's allowed to be posel roshei am. Why?
Because
Because the Rambam holds that this is a separate Isur that addresses the Dayan. And what's the reason for this Isur? Shlo yinog b'sgoro u'begaiva al atzibur. Right, it's a little bit reminiscent of what we saw before, that Rav, since he was the big Dayan, so he was afraid that it might get to his head, and then he would look down in a condescending way on the people. So the Torah gave a special Isur to the judge, and Dafka, when the judge is in his high point, when he's functioning in his capacity to issue judgments, that he might be noeg begaiva. He might let this get to his head and think, well, I'm the greatest over here, right? Everyone revolves around me, and if I could be mezal, so I don't have to be careful about the kovadat zibur. Is our filuk shem tzrichim lo? I would add the dafka came even more so, kolshke, that when they need him, and now he's in a position where he's noeg srara, he's lording it over them because he's the boss here, he's going to issue the verdict, is then he might exhibit a behavior pattern that is disrespectful to the people. Here's where the Torah says no, you have to be very careful, and it shouldn't look like you're about Gaiva and you're about Srora and you're looking down at the Tzibur. Here in the context of the courtroom, that's the dafka where you have to be very careful about the kovadat zibur. So let's just summarize what we have over here. Initially, we thought that since the Rambam quotes this halach of lo yifsal roshei ha'am in Hilchos Sanhedrin, he's addressing the dayanim. The Rambam holds that this isur of lo yifsal is exclusive to dayanim. Number two, we were medayik from the Rambam that since he doesn't qualify like Tosfos did in Yevamos, then the Rambam holds that in any context, even when the judge is in the courtroom, he still has to be very careful. He's got to make sure that he's not, you know, making people part ways in order to let him go in. Whereas Tosfos seems to apply this principle of lo yifsa outside of the realm of dayanim, and Tosfos says it all depends on whether the tzibur needs him at that moment. Like, for example, a chacham who's giving a lecture or darshaning or answering questions in halacha, at that point Tosfos says he doesn't have to worry about kavanat tzibur, because adarava, everything he's doing is on behalf of the tzibur. The tzibur has to show the respect to him. The Rambam didn't qualify, but yet, and here's the punchline, the Rambam does bring down the Isur of lo yichdil yikpots al rashi ha'am, but not in addition to Hilchos Sanhedrin, in Hilchos Talmud Torah. And here he's addressing the case of the Chacham, and the Chacham has to be very careful about the kavadat zibur. But here the Rambam says it all depends, and in a sense the Rambam is just echoing what we saw in Tosfos, that if the Chacham is in the context of giving a drasha for the Tzibur, then we alleviate him of Kavod at Tzibur, because Adarava, on the contrary, it's the Tzibur that has to give him Kavod. The Rambam could accept Tosfos, and that's only when he extends this Isur of Lo Yifsal Rashi Ha'am beyond the pale of the Dayanim, and he applies it to Chachamim. But here there's going to be a fundamental difference. In the case of the Chachamim, the Rambam understands that it all depends on Kavadat Tzibur. And if the Tzibur needs him, then the Chacham doesn't have to be, you know, totally focused and obsessed with the Kavad that he has to give to the Tzibur. But in the case of Dayanim, as we pointed out, in the Rambam Hilchos Sanhedrin, where the Rambam unqualifiedly says lo yifsal rashi ha'am without any qualification, any exception, that's a different halacha. There the Kavadat Tzibur is sort of secondary. What the primary consideration is that he shouldn't let this position and his function as a dayan go to his head, and he becomes a bal gaiva, and he's noeg, what was the Rambam, shlo yinot srora al atzibur. Oh, that's something else. Now the Rambam says that the dayan has to be super careful about the respect that he gives to the people. Now, Rabosai, what I need from you is to photocopy these two pages, which will pretty much bring us to the end of the Gvuras Yitzhak on this Agadita. So we need Pei Hei and Pei Zion. Well, thank you, Don, if you don't mind doing that. And if somebody has a pencil, I just want to make a note of where we got up to. Thank you so much. Shamoa ben Achechem. Okay, so let's see.
Wow, why doesn't the seaboard get up for the half covered for the show page? Stand up.
Yeah.
Sitting down.
That we'll get to too. Oh, that's okay. Also codified in Allah. Okay then. So I wish everyone a good day. Anyone who could come for Iyun, that'll be at 10:30. Okay then?
Yeah.